The laptop and the portable satellite link showed Kurtzman sharp and clear on the screen. It was the best intelligence suite Boland could manage on the back of a motorcycle. He had driven south 12 miles to the town of Kuru and rented a bungalow by the river. Even with the commandant's calling off the dogs, the capital was still teeming with patriotic citizens of France who wanted to beat the living hell out of him. Out in the sticks, he could still pass for a tourist.
So, how did it go?
Commandant Marmion wasn't happy. He already knew that Gunung was AWOL, and nothing I told him cheered him up. Speaking of the Commandant, I need you to locate a former U.S. Army Ranger Captain, Royce Cunningham, 2nd Battalion. He knew Marmion during Desert Storm. He just might be the key to getting me some Legion cooperation.
I'm on it. What about this Russian, Ilyanov?
Well, he's Gestapo, Legion Internal Security. He's big, and he is angry.
What do you think that means to you, Stryker?
Boland considered the big Russian.
The Legion has a reputation for taking care of its own. At one time, they were known for tracking down deserters and killing them. If he's convinced I'm right, I wouldn't want to be Gunung.
I gather he doesn't like you much, either.
I don't see him trying to kill me in cold blood, at least not without some kind of sanction, official or otherwise. But given the chance, I think there's nothing he'd love more than to gather up some of the boys and send me home on a gurney.
So that still leaves Gunung as your main concern.
If he's still alive.
Yeah, and if he is, he won't stop at sending you home in traction. He's more likely to use some messed up Indonesian cutlery and send you home in a bag in chunks, and I doubt he'll be alone.
Speaking of his buddies, I also got a line on two legionnaires in the camp. A Turk named Sahin and an Algerian named Atreche.
I'll try to track him down. And that dovetails nicely with your two shooters wearing French combat boots at the roadblock.
It would, except that one of the shooters was wounded, and by his tracks it was bad enough that he had to lean on his friend. A legionnaire limping with a bullet wound wouldn't be able to keep it a secret very long. It's a small camp, and those guys run 10 miles every morning before they get their coffee and croissants. That is, if they're not humping their rucksacks through the rainforest on training missions. They also assemble at parade about 17 times a day. Neither Marmion nor Ilyanov acted like either one was missing or mysteriously wounded. I got the impression that Sahin and Atreche were in camp. I also got the impression that no one else was AWOL other than Gunung.
You think we have two more legionnaires in this little cabal and they're out on leave?
That's what I'm thinking.
So you have two, possibly three commandos gunning for you, along with as many machete-wielding martial artists as they can rustle up.
Yeah, but first they have to find me.
Boland considered the map of French Guiana he'd pinned to the wall.
What about this French agent, Arielin?
I'll have to play that one by ear. It may well backfire, and I already missed today's dinner date at the cafe.
So she's probably pissed off at you as well. Have you made any friends down south?
Actually, Marmion and Ilyanov are probably my best bets as allies. They don't like me, but they know they have a problem.
So what are you going to do?
Gunung and the two shooters are our best lead. I'm afraid I'm going to have to give him another shot at me. The contacts he has at the Jungle Warfare School will have told them I made an appearance and spoke with the Commandant and Ilyanov. If I stick my head out, they have no choice but to take a shot at it.
Great. Another suicide run. You know, I...
Bear, hold on a minute.
A red light blinked into life on a small black box plugged into Boland's computer. His security suite at the bungalow was rudimentary at best. He had spiked 4 small motion sensors in the shrubbery at each corner of the house. The one facing the river was blinking in alarm. Boland flicked the Beretta 93R's selector switch to 3-round burst. The sound suppressor was already in place, and the magazine loaded.
Bear, I'm gonna have to get back to you.
Stryker!
Boland left the light of the bedroom and eased himself into the gloom of the kitchen. The executioner paused, listening while his eyes adjusted. He could hear the wind blowing the curtains in the little living room that opened onto the patio facing the water. Boland had closed and locked the glass doors. The soldier moved silently back into the bedroom and made his way to the bathroom. He eased open the narrow window over the sink and quickly slid himself outside. His feet made no noise as he landed cat-like in the dirt. Only one sensor had gone off, But that did not mean there weren't more enemies in the darkness. Bolin hugged the shadows as he doubled back toward the patio. Moonlight shone down through the trees, and there were wet spots on the patio bricks. His enemy had come up out of the river. Bolin scanned the glistening trail and determined one person had made it. Bolin eased open the glass doors as he ghosted his opponent. Through the kitchen and down the hallway, the light in the bedroom flicked off. Bolin suspected his link to Kurtzman had just been stolen. He moved slowly into the kitchen and eased himself toward the door to the hallway. He threw himself to one side as the ruby-red dot of a laser sight swept along the door jamb toward his head. The executioner's nostrils flared as he smelled the sharp stink of burned high explosive. He spun the suppressor off the Beretta's threaded barrel. Waking up the neighbors was no longer his biggest consideration. It was time to give the enemy something to worry about. He considered the angle of the shot that had hit the doorway. The enemy was very likely wearing night vision goggles. Bolin snaked his arm around the doorframe and squeezed the Beretta's trigger. Bolin came around the corner. He ran down the hallway and rolled as he came through the bedroom door. He came up and the corner of the bed near his head popped like a firecracker. Bolin could dimly see his opponent by the bathroom door. The assassin jerked, but the ruby beam of his laser tracked, and the weapon clicked twice. Bolin's opponent was wearing armor. Something punched into Bolin's soft body armor below his collarbone. He jerked his head aside as the ruby beam played for his face. Bolin raised his aim, and both he and his opponent went for the headshot. Bolin rose as the door slammed and the lock clicked. The executioner vaulted the bed. He put his foot into the flimsy door, which smashed back on its hinges. The bathroom was empty and the window was open. Bolin charged back through the house. He passed the bed and found his computer had indeed been hijacked. He reached into his pocket and pulled out his keychain. Bolin flung open the glass doors of the living room and ran out onto the patio. He could barely see his opponent moving at a dead run for the river. Bolin raised his keychain. It looked like the small black plastic case for an auto alarm. Bolin pushed the three buttons in sequence. The runner stumbled as the computer exploded in his hands. Bolin sprinted after the staggering figure. The killer belly flopped into the river. The executioner reloaded and watched the surface of the water. The ripple slowly faded, and the river resumed its sluggish, starlit calm. The assassin was either dead at the bottom or had an air bottle. Bolin wasn't betting on death. He waited long minutes, but nothing disturbed the water. The soldier turned and walked back toward the house. He stopped and picked for a moment through the shattered remnants of his computer. His head turned at a gleam a few feet away in the grass. He picked up a pistol. The grip had the contoured ergonomic shape of a target pistol. A laser sight was fitted beneath the barrel. A sound suppressor was threaded onto the muzzle. Bolin thrust the gun under his belt and went back to the house. It seemed his cover was blown just about everywhere. The executioner was fairly sure Jolie Eriolen was wearing soft body armor at the moment. He'd had no choice but to return to Cayenne after the night attack. Bolin was not surprised to see Eriolen already sitting in the cafe when he arrived.
I believe one of your men is a traitor.
Eriolen's smile went dead on her face.
Fuck you.
Bolin reached into his jacket and pulled out the laser-sighted, unique DES-32U pistol his unsuccessful assassin had dropped. He put it on the table between them.
Recognize this?
Where did you get this?
Someone was shooting that at me last night in the city of Rora. Not exactly Foreign Legion issue.
No, it is not.
So, someone gave a legionnaire the weapon, or someone took the liberty of doing the job themselves?
What are you implying?
I'm just wondering about your little pals, Roland and Alain.
Well, after the treatment you gave them, they would love to break your legs. But kill you? No. Besides, they have specific orders to leave you alone until I tell them otherwise.
Well, that's very reassuring. But what if they have higher motivation, personal vengeance?
You mean being Muslim terrorists? Alain and Roland are both good Catholic boys and enjoy their jobs. I cannot imagine them being mixed up with Muslim terrorists, much less my not knowing about it. For that matter, I know for a fact that before they were assigned to the South American sector, they had killed such people without remorse. Indeed, you might say, with pleasure.
Boland turned his icy glare on the woman.
And you?
Yours is an amusing accusation.
How's that?
Because I am Jewish. You know, usually I am suspected of aiding and abetting Israeli intelligence, not their enemies. That is one reason why I am usually assigned to the South American or South Pacific sector. Here, my actions and motivations are not suspect, as they might be in Paris or the Middle East.
That still leaves me with an unidentified shooter with one of your guns.
Yes, you are not a harbinger of glad tidings.
I'm sorry, but the problem was here long before I was.
Yes, it was.
So what have your superiors said about speaking with me?
I am to use my best judgment without compromising the national interests of France.
That's reasonable enough. So what do you know about the terrorist menace in French Guiana?
Very little. We did not believe we had one until very recently. We had rumors coming from our Middle East sector that something was happening here. We were fairly certain it had something to do with the Javanese in Suriname. But the trail led to Indonesia and then the Legion. Other than Corporal Chef Gonong, we are at a loss for leads.
And he's currently AWOL.
Or dead. Word has filtered to us from our agents in Suriname about a gun battle on the Amazonian highway.
He had a bunch of Javanese assisting him, along with two accomplices forming a roadblock. I didn't get a good look at them. But both men were wearing Legion pattern ranger boots and carrying FAMAS rifles. Counting Key, there are three known Muslims in the jungle warfare school at the moment.
Yes, but Attrache and Sahin were accounted for at the time of the battle in Suriname.
So it was someone else. Are you sure there are no other Muslims at the jungle warfare camp?
It is a small establishment. If someone else in the Foreign Legion were stopping what they were doing five times a day and kneeling toward Mecca, we would know about it.
There are special dispensations for the five times prayer. One of them is war, particularly jihad.
You're saying that there are terrorist moles in the Legion Jungle Warfare School?
You're saying Attrache and Sahin were accounted for during the fight in Suriname. So who were the shooters at the roadblock?
Ariolen's teeth bit into the fullness of her lower lip. Nothing Boland had to say was making her happy.
All right. Let's work with that hypothesis. What do they intend? Besides having talented goons at their disposal, why go to the trouble of infiltrating the Legion? If they need them, they can call on foot soldiers from across the globe. The Foreign Legion, on the other hand, is one of the most exclusive military organizations in the world. The discipline is savage, and as for subverting soldiers or infiltrating them, it would be an almost useless exercise. Legionnaires are not allowed to leave France or French territories, except when they are on training missions or extremely special leave. It would be just about the worst military group in the world to attempt to infiltrate and form cadres of terrorists. They have no opportunity to act.
Key managed to go on a walkabout.
Yes, he did. But to what point? What possible target could terrorists have in French Guiana?
You tell me. What target could Muslim terrorists have in French Guiana?
The satellite launch facility at Kourou.
I gather you'd stepped up security?
We have not. It is not in Action Direct's purview. However, we have made our recommendations, and security at Kourou has been doubled, and that may be part of the problem.
How so?
The French Foreign Legion is in charge of security at the launch center.
Boland began to feel a distinct sinking feeling in his stomach.
Perhaps I should speak with your superiors.
Yes. Perhaps that would be best.
Ariolen scooped up her cigarettes as Boland rose and dropped some money on the table. It had been a sunny morning, but a tropical rain began as they walked out from under the canopy.
Listen, you must tell me more about you before I can...
Ariolen jerked as if she had taken a blow and fell backward into Boland's arms. He went with the fall and rolled as the window pane behind him shattered. There were snipers on the roof across the street. Boland rolled through the abandoned tables and chairs as he drew the 93R. Two men were on the opposite roof with telescopic rifles. The barrels of their weapons were fat with the black tubes of sound suppressors. Bolin ignored the near miss and put his front sight on the silhouette of the shooter. His volley struck man and rifle, and the assassin fell back out of view. Erulen was up, and she held a Colt Delta Elite firmly with both hands.
Mangez le bon, vous le fils d'amnable dégoûtant, dégoûtant!
The Beretta ripped chips out of the roof across the street as Bolin fired burst after burst. The second sniper dropped out of sight. Erulen glared at the opposite roof.
Fuckers.
She swayed as raindrops sizzled on her smoking empty pistol.
Oh.
Her knees buckled as she fumbled for a fresh clip, and the French agent sat down hard on the wet tiles. Bolin grabbed her by the shoulders and dragged her behind cover inside. There was a ragged hole torn in the front of her jacket. Buttons popped as Bolin ripped open her blouse. The copper base of a rifle bullet protruded out of her soft body armor directly over her heart. She was lucky the enemy had been using suppressed subsonic ammunition. Bolin finished reloading Erulen's pistol for her and pressed it into her hands.
Can you walk?
I think so. Where should we go?
Not back to your headquarters.
Pick a place. Random.
Random it is.
Bolin took most of her weight as they moved through the gawking restaurant patrons and went out the back. He put her on the back of his bike and jumped into the saddle.
Hold on tight.
Where are we going?
West.
The executioner was going to have to lose the bike. He would miss it, but he had attracted all the necessary attention for the moment. It was time to go for stealth.
What is West?
Bolin opened his eyes. The light of dawn coming through the drapes had painted the room a soft pink. Jolie Erulen was snoring, but it was charming coming from her. Her left breast had a remarkable purple bruise over her heart. Bolin had rendered what aid and comfort he could.
You're snoring. Roll over.
Was it them pork?
Bolin grinned and rolled out of the bed. He took his new laptop and satellite rig off of the bedstand and went into the bathroom. He left the door open as he lowered the toilet seat cover and sat with the laptop across his knees. Bolin's eyes stayed on the beautiful woman. Kurtzman's slightly distorted face blinked onto the screen.
You're typing, not talking. Are you in danger or just using discretion?
Both.
He craned the little camera attached to the laptop on its flexible neck and pointed it at the bed. Kurtzman's eyes widened.
Oh, wow. Is that an ally or the opposition?
Don't know. Haven't decided. Don't know if she has either. We got hammered outside a cafe about 24 hours ago. I got some help from Kerali's contacts. I sent Cowboy a 30 caliber rifle bullet I pulled out of Jolie's armor. Any data back?
He got it.
Kurtzman punched keys and a picture appeared in the corner of Bolin's screen. The rifle depicted was very futuristic looking, with a skeletal frame, a telescopic sight, and an adjustable folding stock and bipod. A long black suppressor tube shrouded the rifle's barrel.
That looked like what they were pointing at you?
Couldn't swear to it. First instinct is yes.
Well, it probably comes as no surprise, but it's French. A PGM. They call it the UR, Ultima Ratio.
The last argument.
That's the one. The cowboy could determine by the rifling and by the marks that it was subsonic. But if you dug it out of Miss Erulen's armor and she was still breathing, you probably already figured that out.
The French Foreign Legion is responsible for base security at the satellite launch facility at Kourou.
I found that out myself a little while ago. Kind of an ugly twist to the plot.
That's the question. What's the plot? France is a whole lot more popular in the Middle East than we are. Even when they were part of the coalition during Desert Storm, Paris was cutting their own deals with Baghdad. We're the great Satan. I find it hard to believe that Al-Qaeda or anyone else of their ilk would want to stage a terrorist attack in French Guiana. The few space shots that the Muslim states have had anything to do with go up from here.
That's a conundrum, all right. I really don't see how there are enough Legionnaires in French Guiana to launch an assault on the base, and even if they manage to plant a bomb from the inside or blow up a rocket on the pad, so what? Where's the payoff?
I don't know. I'm going to the launch facility.
Boland glanced at the woman on the bed.
I'm betting if I ask real nice, Jolie can get me a tour a few levels higher than the usual tourist walkthrough.
The Guiana Space Center was a very impressive facility. The clearance badge Aerulene wore covered the bullet hole in her suit jacket. She had gotten the clearances within 2 hours, and whatever was written on them in numbers in French got them through the front gates and past the guards with salutes all around. The massive arc of a circular reception desk faced the doors. A beautiful young Creole woman in a blue jacket smiled at them brightly as they entered.
Où avez-vous trouvé cet homme belle? 20 francs indique qu'il est un agent secret. J'espère que vous ne mourrez pas à la fin de l'histoire.
She turned her smile up to full wattage as she addressed him in very thick English.
Would you care for coffee or tea? Dr. Poulain is on his way down.
Nothing, thank you.
The director of the Guiana Space Center was a short, bald, and exceptionally energetic-looking man in his late 50s. He wore an impeccably tailored gray suit, and as he walked into the room, his personality preceded him. Sergeant Chief Vasily Ilyanov walked through the doors at the director's side. He was in full ceremonial Legion tropical uniform. The Russian sergeant's Beretta pistol was strapped to his hip. Boland noticed the Russian carried his pistol cocked. The director walked up and kissed Aerulene on the cheeks. He turned and stuck out his hand to Boland. He spoke excellent English.
Good morning, my friend. I received word from Paris just an hour ago that we were having guests. It is a pleasure to meet you, Mr.
Cooper. Thank you for seeing us. Do I call you Director or Dr. Poulain?
You could call me either, but I would prefer you called me Bernard.
Call me Matt. I hope we're not interrupting your schedule.
The director let his eyes rove over Aerulene.
A man would have to be insane or blind not to interrupt his schedule for Mr. Roland. As for interrupting my schedule, I am so often in Paris cleaning up messes and taking meetings that I miss most of the launches here. And to be honest, with the schedule I keep, I only rarely get the opportunity to show people my toys.
Boland matched the director's cunning smile.
And your security has been doubled, and no one will tell you anything.
Both Aerulene and Ilyanov shot Boland arch looks.
Indeed, I shall play the three of you against one another and hopefully learn something useful. Meanwhile, all of you, please, follow me.
They followed the director into the elevator and began ascending.
You have a launch scheduled soon?
Indeed. Within the week.
They found themselves stepping into an observation lounge. Gigantic windows curved up into the ceiling facing the airstrip and the two launch pads. There was also a well-appointed bar. The director waved at the young man behind it.
Champagne for our guests.
Boland went up to one of the windows and gazed out across the facility. The two launch pads sat more than a mile away. One was empty. On the other, the gleaming white spire of a rocket towered toward the noon sun. Technicians looked like ants as they serviced and prepared the spacecraft. Boland admired the clean lines of the rocket.
The Ariane 5. It's beautiful.
Indeed, she is. She carries 25 tons of liquid oxygen and 25 tons of liquid hydrogen. She is capable of carrying out multiple restarts and will be powerful enough to put a dual payload of 12 tons into a geostationary transfer orbit.
12 tons?
Ilyanov gazed out the window. His blue eyes regarded the rocket intently. A glass of champagne went untouched in his hand.
In Russia, we have much larger, but nothing so elegant.
And you, Jolie?
Three grown men ogling a rocket. I am sure Freud would have something to say.
Three more people entered the room. Poulain smiled.
Ah, Monsieur Cooper, may I introduce Dr. Guy Dutronc, my second in command, and the man who really runs this facility.
Boland shook hands with another bald, beaming French rocket scientist.
And may I introduce Dr. Babu Seth, our payload engineer.
Dr. Seth had a head of hair that Einstein would have envied. He was clearly Indian and spoke English with an Oxford accent.
Pleased to meet you.
Poulain's already warm smile grew warmer as he gestured at the third scientist.
And of course, our jewel.
The woman wore a white lab coat, but neither that, the square-framed glasses, nor her severely pulled back black hair could hide the fact that she was beautiful. Her gray eyes regarded Boland neutrally as she extended her hand. Poulain noted Boland's approval and grinned.
May I introduce Dr. Foresta Mohammed Khani?
Alarm bells went off in Boland's head. He smiled and took the scientist's hand.
That's a beautiful name. Is it Persian?
The woman's carefully neutral expression warmed slightly. One corner of her generous mouth turned up.
Yes, thank you.
She is the true rocket scientist, dear. It is largely because of her that our rocket is ahead of schedule and even more powerful than the original design specifications.
I'm pleased to make your acquaintance. I understand you have quite a launch coming up.
Yes, the launch is scheduled for the end of the week.
What are you sending up?
It's...
Oh, just a little something in the name of France. As to its exact nature and capabilities, you would have to speak with Dr. Seth, and I apologize, but it will take more than having Miss Erolin on your arm to speak of the current payload. I am afraid it would take a phone call from a certain department in Paris that I have yet to receive.
So this is strictly a French launch?
Yes. This particular launch is strictly a French launch, and a strictly classified one.
Some sort of satellite, I suppose.
So one might suppose.
Hypothetically, anything that terrorists might be interested in?
Dr. Mohammed Khani rolled her eyes. Whatever goodwill Boland had earned in the last 2 minutes was clearly crushed. Seth and Dutronc looked openly dubious. Poulain frowned deeply.
It is not a weapon, I can assure you. To my knowledge, the nation of France has never had in the past, nor has any current or future plans to field hypervelocity ray guns or orbiting X-ray laser battle stations. Those are projects only the United States has the political and economic wherewithal to consider.
I was not implying that France is secretly deploying space weapons, Dr. Poulain.
No, you were not. At the risk of breaching security, I will tell you what you already suspect. My rocket carries an observation satellite, a highly sophisticated one, one with technologies that yours or any other government would be highly interested in obtaining. Those technologies are highly classified. Just who, what, or in what manner the satellite is designed to make its observations is also highly classified. Now, I suppose any observation satellite might be used in tracking terrorist activities in one form or another. However, I must express grave doubts as to this satellite being any kind of viable target for terrorist attack. For that matter, if terrorists truly wish to attack the European Space Center, the liquid fuel production facility would make a much better target. We produce liquid hydrogen, oxygen, and other highly volatile compounds in vast quantities there. It is only a few kilometers from here. A single, well-placed bomb would produce multiple spectacular fuel-air explosions, killing hundreds, if not thousands, here at the space facility, and do untold damage.
Still, the destruction of a French spy satellite with an explosion on the pad would make headlines and be a blow to French prestige.
I suppose. However, this is an unmanned rocket. A French rocket blowing up in French Guiana would hardly spur an international furor, even if terrorists were suspected. We would simply tighten security and continue with our scheduled launches, and people like Miss Erolin and her shadowy associates would hunt down the perpetrators and kill them.
Boland looked out across the field toward the gleaming rocket. He was grasping at straws, and he knew it. He also knew there was a piece of the puzzle here. His every instinct told him he was on the right track.
There's something going on here in French Guiana.
I am sure there is. I knew it must be so when Jolie contacted me this morning. Hardly any man in French Guiana is lucky enough to entertain her without national security being somehow involved. I have spent the entire morning trying to figure out what kind of plot there might be. As I have mentioned, I believe the liquid fuel production facility would be the most viable target. However, security has been doubled both there and throughout the entire spaceport. Sergeant Chef Ilyanov could tell you more about it, but I am assured that the Legionnaires have the wherewithal to destroy a truck bomb long before it comes close to any significant building. Airspace is also strictly controlled around Kourou.
Bolin glanced at Ilyanov. He suspected there were rockets secreted around Kourou, rockets small enough for a man to fire from his shoulder. That in itself offered a new form of attack, and one from within.
All Legionnaires of the Muslim faith with guard duties at the spaceport have been temporarily reassigned.
Dr. Mohammed Khani went rigid, her face flushed, but her gray eyes were glacial as they regarded first Ilyanov and then Bolin. She spun on her heel without a word and stormed out of the lounge. The Frenchmen all shrugged and sipped their champagne. It was a sensible precaution, but Poulin was right. One unmanned rocket carrying an observation satellite in French Guiana didn't have much weight as a terrorist target. There was a bigger threat. Bolin knew it, but he couldn't identify it. Poulin's shoulders sagged defeatedly.
I am sorry, my friend. But as a consolation, it would be my pleasure to give you a personally guided tour.
I'd like that.
I think he liked you.
Erulan pulled away from the space center in the ancient rented Peugeot.
I liked him, too. I respect any man who's passionate about what he does. Dr. Poulin seemed awfully fond of you as well.
The French agent ran her eye up and down Bolin as she drove.
I like men who are passionate about what they do as well. Also, Action Direct is partly responsible for security at Kourou, but only in an intelligence gathering role. Bernard, I mean Dr. Poulin, and I have worked together on several occasions.
What do you know about Dr. Mohammed Khani?
She's pretty, I suppose.
I didn't know you were the jealous type.
I am. Never forget that.
I won't. Get her phone number and address for me.
You are a pig.
Erulan punched up data on her personal organizer and scribbled information on an old receipt, while at the same time driving with her knees. She handed Bolin the scrap of paper.
Here, good luck. She hates you, I can tell.
Love and hate, an inch apart. I need to contact home. You can drop me off at the cafe near the hotel.
I also need to contact my superiors, preferably without you about. We'll meet back at the room in, say, an hour and compare notes?
It's a date.
Bolin took the suitcase containing his laptop and satellite rig and went into the cafe. He took a table near the rear exit and put his back to the wall as he connected. A waiter brought Bolin coffee.
So how was the spaceport?
Interesting. They could teach NASA a few tricks. Could an Ariane 5 reach the United States?
You mean ballistically, like a missile? The Ariane 5 was designed to take satellites up into high, low, and medium Earth orbits. It could easily reach any point in the U.S., including Hawaii and Alaska. So what do you think?
As a terrorist threat? It looks gorgeous on paper, and I've already considered that one. First, you'd have to switch the guidance package. Not inconceivable. But the minute anyone runs any kind of check, which they do about 1,000 times before liftoff, the cat's going to be out of the bag. But what if you've got that covered?
Bolin glanced at the piece of paper with the number and the address in his hand.
What if you have someone high up on the inside, in the control room?
Well, now, that would be a feat in and of itself. But just for argument's sake, I'll give it to you. So you switch the guidance package, you find a loose nuke, and you load her up and blast her off in a great big perfect arc in Washington, D.C. as ground zero. You have one last, and in my opinion, insurmountable hurdle.
Re-entry.
Bingo. The Ariane 5's a one-way ticket. It's designed to take things up, not bring them back down. It can make the first part of the journey without breaking a sweat. Coming back down, its payload would burn up in the high atmosphere long before it even got close to its target. And to get past that, you would have to design a special re-entry vessel for your weapon, sneak it into the space center, fool every single technician involved in assembly and mounting into thinking it's the correct payload, and remember, it'll look nothing like the satellite it's replacing. It would look different, it would mount different, and your takeoff weight would be different. You'd raise red flags every step of the way from the lowliest technicians to the highest level engineers controlling the project. And like I said, everything is checked thousands of times right up to takeoff. To make it happen, you would literally have to control the entire facility top to bottom. And I've taken it down that route, all the way down to the last permutation. Let's say every single French Foreign Legionnaire in French Guiana converts to Islam and they take the spaceport. And they have the scientists in place and lined up to switch the payloads. That rocket would still never leave the launch pad. If the spaceport were taken, France would assault it. Mirage 6 supersonic strategic bombers could cross the Atlantic in about 2.5 hours and destroy anything on either of the two launch pads. And for that matter, worst case scenario, the spaceport has been taken, the rocket is modified, and we are 60 minutes and counting to Armageddon, the French could pull a final option of their own and nuke the facility from one of their subs in the Pacific. No, I'm sorry, Stryker, but the Ariane 5 just doesn't work as a terrorist weapon.
Do me a favor anyway. Find me everything you can on a Dr. Feresta Mohamed Kani, currently working for the French National Space Program in French Guiana. Here's her information. I believe she's Iranian, probably immigrated to France and went to university at the Polytechnical School. Her specialty is rocket design.
I'm on it. What are you going to do meanwhile?
I don't know. I think Jolie knows more than she's telling me, but not much. I'm going to buy her lunch and see if her superiors have cleared her to tell me anything interesting. By that time, I'm hoping you'll have something on Dr. Mohamed Kani, and I'll pay her a visit.
Contact me in 2 hours. I'll see what I can do.
Stryker out.
An afternoon rainstorm broke out and beat down on the streets. People in the streets ducked into doorways. Bolin jogged across the street to the hotel. Inside, the man at the front desk gestured to him. Bolin caught the disturbed look in the man's eyes, and his hand crept toward his concealed Beretta 93R.
Yes?
Your lady friend, she's gone.
Gone? Where?
I do not know, sir, but she looked very unhappy, and she was in the company of a number of very unpleasant-looking men. I almost called the police.
What kind of men?
They weren't from around here, and they were rough-looking. One of them had frightening eyes.
The soldier took the stairs 3 at a time to the second-story landing. He went down the hall and could see that the door to his room was standing open. Bolin flicked his selector switch to 3-round burst mode and went through the door. There was no sign of a struggle, save for a Colt Delta Elite lying unfired on the carpet. Bolin lowered his pistol as he stared at the bedstand. The 12-inch, snake-curved blade of a Kris was sunk into the wood. The blade impaled a piece of paper. Only 4 words were written on it. Leave, or she dies. In his office, the infamous commander addressed his subordinates.
Everything is going according to plan.
Everything was going according to plan before. You said the American was a hunted man, and there was nowhere he could hide from the Legion.
Babar looked askance at the commander.
So he went to the Legion camp and made friends with the commanding officer.
Yes, this American does appear to be quite resourceful.
You think kidnapping the woman is enough to draw him off?
No, Cigarette, I do not believe so. But that was never really my intention. The way this man is, he will be forced to act. It will be his undoing.
But what about his allies?
It was clear the giant would not be satisfied until he had personally pulled the American's head from his shoulders.
He keeps calling upon resources he should not be able to use. As I said, he has made war against the Legion. yet somehow acquired the cooperation of the commandant of the Jungle Warfare School.
I am counting on it. We have contacts in the French Foreign Legion, do we not? And we have at least one contact I can think of in Action Direct, no? And we have contacts in the local police. Babar, my friend, I am counting on our American calling on whatever resources he can muster. He knows he cannot find the woman alone. He will have to seek help. The minute he goes to the Legion, we will know it. The minute he contacts Action Direct headquarters, we will know it. The minute he contacts the local police, we will know it.
Should we go and ensure it?
No, not yet. The trap is set. When he makes his move, as I say, we will know it. All our accomplices need is 5 minutes warning, and they will be ready for him.
Yes, but what about us? I think Cigarette is right. We need to take this matter firmly into our own hands.
Do you know something? I agree. We will assemble the strike team. We get the word when he moves. When he moves, we do. We will let him walk into the trap.
And we will be outside waiting, should he once more prove resourceful.
Exactly.
The commander's eyes blazed as he looked into the American's short and brutal future. Dr. Poulin glanced around nervously as he awaited his rendezvous. The executioner had contacted him and insisted they meet on urgent business, but the man was nowhere to be seen.
We have a problem.
Dr. Poulin nearly jumped out of his shoes as Boland materialized behind him in the parking lot.
Oh, you nearly made me change my pants, my friend.
I'm sorry, Doctor, but it was necessary to speak to you alone.
Just what sort of problem do we have? Have you discovered something new?
Jolie has been kidnapped.
Kidnapped? By whom?
The terrorists I tracked to French Guiana. They want me to break off my investigation.
Well, then you must.
I can't, and I won't. Jolie's probably already dead, or wishes she was. And even if I do break off my investigation, even if they let her go, she won't break off hers. They'll have to kill her anyway.
So, a rescue. Or revenge.
Those are the only viable options.
I will contact Ilyanov. He will...
I would rather you didn't do that.
But Ilyanov is a Foreign Legion commando. He can...
The activities of the French Foreign Legion have been compromised. So have those of Action Direct. And I don't know just exactly how bad it is or how far up the chain it runs.
I keep a pistol in my car. And I have a shotgun at home. What is it you propose?
I'd like you to get on the phone. Jolie has at least one team that I know of working under her. Two men.
Roland Arretos and his partner Alain Renault. I do not know them well. However, when Jolie returned to France for a month last year, she gave me the phone number of the big one, Roland, to call in case there was some kind of intelligence crisis at the Space Center. I have met him a few times, socially. Alain is relatively new. I have seen him assigned to visiting dignitaries as part of security. Other than that, I do not know much about them.
Gut instinct. Do you trust them?
Roland struck me as a brutal man. But I do not doubt his loyalty to France or to Jolie. Alain, I simply do not know.
Call Roland. Tell him you have an intelligence emergency. Don't tell him what kind, and tell him that you can't talk over the phone. Tell him to meet you at your house immediately.
You drive.
Dr. Poulin handed Boland his keys. He took out his cell phone and began searching its address book for the number.
Il est moi, Dr. Poulin. Écoutez soigneusement. Il y a une urgence. Et j'ai besoin de vous pour me rencontrer aussi tôt que possible à ma maison. Dites à Alcun ce que vous faites. Arreto says he will meet you at my house. He is in Kourou. He says he can be there in 5 minutes.
Boland did the math. The facility was out and far away from the city, and it would take him 10 minutes breaking every speed limit. He had wanted to be the one waiting, but the cards had been dealt and would have to be played as is.
All right.
What? Arreto says he already knows.
How?
He did not say. He says you and I are to come alone. He says you are to come unarmed. Will you meet him? Or do you have another plan?
You said you keep a pistol in your car?
Yes.
Poulin opened up his glove box and pulled out a French 1935A. The little pistol was flat, lustrously blued, and had elegant lines. Boland had fired one before. They were very accurate, quite reliable. And like most pre-war French pistols, they were also woefully underpowered.
You any good with it?
I can keep most rounds in the black at 25 meters.
Who do you trust more, me or Oretos?
Well, I do not wish to seem a traitor, but I trust you.
Listen, there's a good chance this is an ambush. If it comes down to it, give Roland my gun, but keep yours in your pocket. Stand close to them. If you have to shoot, shoot Roland first. Shoot him twice, once in the body and then once in the head. Then give Alain the same.
Very well.
He cocked his pistol and put it into his coat pocket. Bolin took out the Beretta 93R and handed it to the doctor. Poulin's eyes widened when he saw the machine pistol, and he set it in his lap. They drove for a few minutes in silence until they reached the outskirts of Kourou.
Turn right.
Bolin turned onto a gravel road that paralleled a small river. The road twisted along with the curves of the banks and was lined with tropical trees. Several drives pulled off the road through the trees.
Many of the engineers keep cottages here. My driveway is just ahead.
Bolin pulled onto a short drive that led directly to the river. A small but well-appointed cottage sat at the river's edge with its own pier and speedboat at dock. A black Renault SUV was parked out front.
Is that yours?
No. They beat us here.
Aretas and Renault immediately appeared from around either side of the house. Each of them carried their weapons in their hands. Poulin stepped out of the car, but the two agents seemed to ignore him. They leveled their pistols at Bolin.
Drop your weapons, slowly.
Bolin opened his jacket by the corners to show his empty holster. As he did so, the skeleton handle of his boot knife slid into his palm from out of his sleeve. Even wearing soft body armor, he doubted he could survive wading through two cylinders of .357 Magnum rounds to get close enough to use it. But the steel was still cold comfort in his hand as he dropped his coat and kept the blade concealed along his wrist. Poulin held up the Beretta by the barrel.
I have his gun. He has come in good faith.
One of Aretas's single heavy eyebrows rose slightly. He jerked his head, and Renault took the pistol from the doctor. Poulin stepped back behind the two French agents. Poulin's right hand slid into his pocket. The Action Direct men took no notice. Bolin had their full attention. Poulin drew the pistol and pointed it at the back of Aretos' head. Aretos' face split into an ugly grin.
I think you have taken an awfully big risk, mon ami. Come on, we are wasting time.
He turned to find Dr. Poulin putting his own pistol back in his pocket. He whirled and looked back at Bolin dryly. The big Frenchman shook his head ruefully as he walked into Poulin's cottage. Bolin sheathed his knife and they all followed. Inside the cottage, the soldier's eye immediately went to the blood-streaked piece of paper on the coffee table. Aretos sprawled onto the couch. He waved at the note as he lit a cigarette.
This was received a few hours ago.
Bolin picked it up and he and Poulin both read the note.
Kill the American, we let her go.
A corner of the blood-stained note had been cut out. Renault tapped the note with his finger.
It matches Jolie's blood type. A DNA match is being done, but that will take hours even with top priority. We are operating under the assumption that this is for real.
Bolin pulled the note he had received from inside his jacket and handed it to Renault. He grimaced and gave it to Aretas.
I gather you are not going to leave.
No. And frankly, I'm hoping you're not going along with their demands either.
No. We will kill you when we feel like it. Not at the demand of men who are already dead.
The question is, where is she? And who has her?
Bolin took a package wrapped in newspaper from his jacket lining and laid it on the coffee table. Aretas unwrapped it. The three Frenchmen stared at the 12-inch dagger Bolin had brought with him from the hotel.
Corporal Chef Ki Gunung has her. You need to run fingerprints on that as soon as possible.
Aretas jerked his head, and Renault re-wrapped the dagger and ran out without a word. Aretas glanced back at Bolin.
You are full of surprises. Can you tell us where she is being held as well?
He is a French Foreign Legion deep reconnaissance commando. If he wants to hide, all he has to do is pull a fade into the jungle. We'll never find him.
Yes, but you do not believe he is hiding?
No, he's not. He left his calling card, and I suspect the Javanese quarter in Cayenne is small. It won't be too hard to track him down.
You suspect a trap?
Oh yeah, a great big one.
Foolish. What is to prevent me from assembling a strike team and burning him and his little ambush to the ground?
Namely, that Action Direct has been compromised.
Folan ignored the Frenchman's anger. There was no way to sugarcoat the situation, and time was short.
They have someone on the inside. The minute you contact headquarters and start assembling your team, someone is going to slip Gunung the word, and he'll disappear. The same will happen if Ilyanov and Legion Internal Security tries anything.
So, we are fucked. We sit on our hands and do nothing? Is that what you are saying?
No. Action Direct and the Legion can't take any kind of action. But I've got nothing better to do, and I suspect we have an hour or so before the enemy starts to wonder why they can't locate you and Alain. That makes three.
Four.
Put it back in your pants, Doctor.
You need all the help you can get.
Very well. Tell me, other than getting yourself killed, and my career ruined for losing the lead rocket scientist of France on an unauthorized raid, just what is it that you think you can do?
It was a long time ago, but I did my national service. I was trained as a forward observer, and I know which end of an MAS-49 rifle is which.
Aretas looked at Bolan helplessly. The soldier shrugged.
He was willing to blow your head off.
Yes, so he was.